It's time for Twig This Week at Google. Stacey Higginbotham is here. Jeff Jarvis is here. And we're going to talk about a lot of things all over the place with this one, including Hiroshi Lockheimer's apology to the Podcast Addict podcast. Why Joe Rogan is going to Spotify is a big deal. Walmart killing Jet.com. And we'll talk about the API, the Apple-Google API, to trace coronavirus. It comes out today. It's all coming up next on Twig. This Week in Google comes to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. Stay in control when it comes to your company's access points and authentication. LastPass makes enterprise-level security simple for your remote workforce. Check out lastpass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
It's time for Twig This Week in Google, episode 560, recorded Wednesday, May 20th, 2020. Beer and shoes. This episode of This Week in Google is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Now that a lot of you are working from home, it's even more important to choose a VPN you trust to protect you from online threats and snoops. For 3 extra months free with a 1-year package, go to expressvpn.com/twig. It's time for Twig This Week in Google, the show where you can talk about the latest in the Googleverse and the Twitterverse and the Stacey and Jeffverse. Joining us right now. Wait a minute, let me get my cue card so I can read it. Stacey Higginbotham from StaceyOnIoT.com. Hello, Stacey.
Oh, you needed that for me?
No, I'm kidding. I was joking. Hi, Stacey.
Hello.
Good to see you. I want to ask you about your event. You just happened, and it sounds so cool.
It was. It was awesome.
And it's going to get you banned from Android, but that's okay.
Oh, we should talk about that because so many of my people that listen to the show, they were like, Stacey? Yeah. And I'm like, help.
Also, on the line, the Leonard Tao Professor for Journalistic Innovation at the Craig Newmark Graduate School of Journalism at the City University of New York, Mr. Jeffrey T.
Well
Jarvis.
Done. And there's, can you see it? There's our neighborhood fox.
Oh, the fox? What does the fox say? Would you ask real quickly?
We missed it. We missed him. Sorry.
I saw some red in the bush.
I have a neighborhood fox, yes. A whole family.
I'm so
of foxes.
Jealous.
Yeah. Have you heard them at night, though? They're very annoying.
Oh, really? No, yeah. They go over to another neighbor's house where they sleep, where the little foxes are. But here I see them carrying away their catches.
Oh.
Baby foxes are called kits.
Kits? Isn't that cute?
It's so cute.
Belies their vicious nature.
Foxes are vicious? Oh.
How else do they kill their things? Yes.
So it's the middle of the night, and we're hearing call and response from the front of the house to the back of the house, that sounds a little like, turn off my sound, Jeff, this. Well, so you can't hear it. It was a very quiet night. Turn on my sound, can you? Do you know what's going on? Okay.
Is your sound on? Did you turn it up?
Yeah.
The video?
Oh, I don't know.
Is it going to sound like it's got helium?
Did you hear that?
Wow.
Have you ever heard that?
That sounds like me screaming moral panic.
That's what red fox screams sound like. And we heard this and I thought something horrible was happening because we are not of the nature, one with nature. We are two with nature. But I had an instinct because I'd seen these red foxes around. So I Googled it and thanks to YouTube, I know what the sound is. And that's what we were hearing front and back. They were mating, I think. So now we know what
the fox think
is.
I've heard that. I think I've heard that, yes.
Yeah, see?
Oh. That's how you get little foxes.
Little baby foxes. Kits.
Yeah. Little kits.
And kits.
Also in the backyard yesterday, there was a fawn nursing.
Oh, baby.
Isn't it kind of nice that nature's coming back? It just shows you. I mean, it's only been 2 months.
It is.
If in 20 years, everything would be like the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Statue of Liberty would be buried this high in sand. It'd be ivy all over the... You know, Tower of Eiffel, it'd be...
The ice will come back.
The ice is coming. Turkeys everywhere, too, right? Wild turkeys.
Yeah, I got wild turkeys.
What puzzles me is, what were we doing that was scaring them off? It's not like...
Driving.
Driving. I must be cars. Terrify them.
Well, they're pretty deadly.
Yeah, you don't want to walk in front of one. I've learned that.
Tell that to a deer. Stupidest animals on earth. Oh.
Turkeys are way dumber.
Tell me about your event, because Stacy did a COVID-19 event today. Where can we find it?
You will be able to find it on stacyonIoT.com/COVID.
Okay.
And I'm actually putting it in my podcast stream, not at this moment, but in a day or two.
And this is the first online conference you've ever done.
Yes. And it went so well.
It's so great.
I had Inder Singh, who is the CEO of Kinza. I had a woman from a company called Electrolabs that does validation of consumer wearables for clinical studies. And then I had someone from Scripps Translational Institute, an epidemiologist from that. And they all got together and the topic was, hey, why didn't IoT see COVID-19 coming? And what can we do? So we talked about, actually, it did see it coming. We talked about how we can make things better.
Wow.
We talked about privacy. That was really delightful. We had little disagreement. We talked about what kind of devices you need. It was really good.
Say more about privacy disagreement.
It broke down exactly how you would think of it. Dina, who used to work for Consumers Union, which publishes Consumer Reports, was calling for, if we want to use this, she thinks that we should have a governmental rule around privacy and data protection. Kind of like what you call for, Jeff, which is against malicious or problematic use of the data. Inder was like, no, I think everybody should kind of opt into it. But if we have too much regulation, it's going to stifle innovation. You know, that old chestnut. It was really good.
And so
nobody had to fly in.
Yeah,
you didn't have to make lunch for anybody. You didn't have to rent a hall.
You know what I would really like to do? I think this would be amazing, and I'm not sure how to do it, but I would love if people paid and registered for an event, I would love to actually arrange something with like an Uber Eats or something to deliver lunch.
That'd be cool. That'd be very cool.
Your box lunch will be arriving shortly.
Seriously, I think do something with FedEx so everybody opens up the same bag, you know, that day.
Microsoft did that for Build. You know, they're doing their developers conference. Google skipped it last week. Microsoft Build's going on right now. And to the press, Paul and Mary Jo were talking about this. You got a packet that had like a Starbucks certificate in it and a few things to make up for the fact that it isn't an in-person event anymore.
I think you should do it in the evening, Stacy, with a little recommended Stacy gin.
There you go.
Excellent.
Microsoft also did digital swag. So they had a page where you could download wallpapers and stuff. So it's just, I think this is, you know, honestly, the Build conference has been 10 times better because it was all online. Everything went faster, was more interesting, was more natural, was more human. So let me ask you, Stacy, why didn't or how did IoT predict it?
So Inder's
his thermometers predicted it.
His thermometers predicted it. He's like, we saw the spikes in temperature coming. The spikes in atypical temperatures coming. We let health officials know. And, you know, from there, things sort of happened.
They have a map online, healthweather.us, that you can see atypical illness. Their thermometers have been handed out for a long time for flu, you know.
For flu and cold. So they had a program going as far back as, I think, 2014.
You know, it's funny. I bought a Kinza thermometer and I've been using it. And then I was going through the drawers a couple of days ago and I found an old Kinza thermometer that I've had for years. So I guess somehow that we participated in that somehow.
Yeah. They gave it out to elementary age school children.
Yeah.
We talked about how do you get good population data? Right. And their next effort is going to be sending thermometers out to underserved populations who don't have $60 or $20 to spend on a connected thermometer. We also talked about the need for how to send more money to local areas. So we really need more of a local response for public health. So we talked about how to make that possible. And the other challenge is, and one of the reasons why, you know, I know Kinza says they saw it coming, but a lot of this isn't validated research yet. So we think that we know what disease looks like on a Fitbit, for example, but we don't have validated research and we're still getting that.
It's really
so.
Really
geek cool. Question, Stacey. Did you use Zoom or StreamYard?
So we use Zoom for this one. My next one, I'm doing one June 11th on machine learning at the edge, and I'm using a platform called Hopin for that.
Huh.
And that's going to be new and different.
1P or 2?
1P.
Hop in or Hopin?
Well, so it's hopin.to. So hop into.
Oh, I like it.
Okay, got it. StreamYard. Have you seen StreamYard?
No, I haven't. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
So
it's very good. It lets you put in lower thirds and other messages and things. It's more for auditorium events like this.
Oh, cool.
And you can stream live to, I think, two platforms at once.
Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, which is neat. Stream to multiple platforms simultaneously. Also Periscope, Twitch, and custom RTMP. Huh. So have you used this, Jeff?
No, a friend of mine used it, and we're going to use it at the school for an event, I think, next week.
It's really interesting how many choices there are. The nice thing about Zoom is you don't have to teach anybody how to use it. Everybody just kind of knows, right?
Zoom is pretty darn amazing. You see, the Washington Post did awards for all the platforms today, and everybody got an award. Zoom was the best in show. And the other one I used recently is the It's a audio podcasting tool where I record. I'm here. You're there. On the web, it records me separately and then sends that up to the other one and then merges the two.
Huh. Oh, does it allow you to? Because that's one of the things like I hate is I can't on Zoom.
That's Zencaster. Zencaster, I was going to say.
Zencaster,
yeah, Zencaster is not great.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, that's
a lot of podcasters use it because it's double-ended automatically.
But yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you have to leave your browser open while it still processes it at the end. So if if someone shuts their browser before it's done,
you lose the audio.
Oh,
yeah.
That sucks.
It is like, you're like,
I was
okay,
warned.
Remember.
Leave it open.
Yeah.
Then they told me when I could get rid of it. Then the other Europeans like whereby.
Is that spelled
Whereby.
Whereby. Video meetings, video conferencing. Free. So there are a lot of choices out there.
There That's are amazing. Tons now.
Yeah.
Umbrella, and there's event.
Minicam.
Okay, we don't have to list them all, Jeff.
All right, I'm sorry. Well, people like geeky things.
There are a lot of them. I mean, quite a while. Google has its own, and
now I won't.
Microsoft has its own, and Apple has its own, and on 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 and on.
So I was looking at all this because I was so desperate to not be pink anymore that I was looking at cameras. I was trying to figure it out. And then before the show, I mentioned I uploaded eyeglasses, which is just a different adjustment for the camera. And even though I don't look spectacular right now here, it's a lot better than I've been.
Oh, this is from Ecamm. They do good stuff.
They do.
I like Ecamm a lot.
I use Ecamm for recording my podcast.
Yes.
It's the best option I have.
Yeah. They know.
Although I do not do weird screens.
They know. Yeah. Don't do the twirly screen.
No.
Don't be a frog.
So, Stacey, you had 200 people.
Uh-huh.
Did you have how did you handle questions and that kind of stuff?
Because it was on Zoom, they could drop it in the chat or they could drop it in the Q&A. I made everyone go to the Q&A. So it was a little weird. I guess it's no weirder than this, but hosting.
This is weird.
Well, it was just. Here, at least I have the chat. Like, I know that there are actually people out there for this. So I was like, hello, everybody. Welcome. And I'm like, I feel like I'm shouting into the void.
Yeah.
So it was
it takes some getting used to, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm doing a speech this week that's pre-recorded for June 9th, I think. And that's going to be super weird because it's a 40-minute keynote that I'm giving and I have to do it sitting down just to like my daughter's stuffed animals. That's going to be strange.
I don't know. I have no trouble doing this, but I've been doing it for my whole life.
Yeah.
Because that's all radio is you close your eyes and you talk and you imagine that there's somebody listening. I must have a very vivid imagination. I don't know.
I've got to start recording my classes, my lectures for orientation.
Yeah.
And normally I have an audience. Normally I have people react. I can get some laughs if I'm doing a good job. And the worst part is recording. Then I screw up something. Start over again. So I'm going to have to edit a lot.
I have found when I wrote my speech, I actually pulled in because I think people are going to be doing other things maybe while this. Maybe they're going to be so focused on me, but I kind of doubt it.
They'll be doing so other I'm things, like, yeah.
Setting aside little interludes where I'm like, okay, hey, everybody, take a minute. If you're checking your email, come back to me for a second because this is a really important point. So I'm going to do that, but we'll see.
I constantly imagine what people are doing while they're listening. I don't know why. Just somehow I'm able to do it. Partly because I'm a monologist in life. Like, I talk to myself all the time. So it just might just be, you know, it doesn't matter if somebody's listening to me. I don't know. Well, good luck on that event.
Yeah, that's great, Stacey. Yeah, that's great.
I'm really glad. Yeah. By the way, just a little point of order for people who are looking at eyeglasses. Eyeglasses is not compatible with FaceTime, Photo Booth, or the latest versions of Skype or Zoom. We've seen this a lot because they don't like
virtual. We're on Skype right now and it's working.
I know. They don't like, well, you may not be using the latest version. They don't like,
Zoom, they got rid of all those other cameras. I hope they're going to come back.
Yeah, they don't
back.
Like virtual Was cameras. It? They don't want you to use virtual cameras.
So it is a virtual
so
camera.
So if
there is a way to do it on the web.
So be careful
what
when you upload.
Camera?
Upgrade Skype. It's a software that pretends it's a camera. That's how these work. So they capture the camera, but they try to look like a camera. You're going through them. So they try to look like a camera to Skype or Zoom, and I guess it's tricking your Skype.
Yeah, that's how you do Snapcam. That's how you have an animal on your head on Snap.
Way. Yeah.
Ah, okay. I got you now. I'm like, what are you talking? I don't get this.
I don't understand. Speaking of COVID, you're taking a chance because you saw that Google kicked Podcast Addict, a 9-year-old podcast app, out because it let users play podcasts that reference COVID-19.
For a little bit, they did.
Yes.
But then it came
Hiroshi
back.
Lockheimer actually was very chagrined, personally apologized. This is a constant problem, though, on all platforms where they're simultaneously too generous and too locked down. And it's very hard to find.
And they get crap either way.
Right.
Right.
Right. Freedom of speech. Kill it. And they're caught in the middle. I put a post up on Twitter that went crazy. And I put the same post up on Facebook. And what it was a church in Georgia had opened on April 26th. And then families got sick, sadly. And so it's closed again. So I tweeted that. Then I looked at the sermon the minister gave that day, and I quoted it. And he said, my Lord is not named Corona. My God is not named COVID-19. So I put that quote and the video into Facebook. No reaction. I have 4,000 retweets on Twitter. No reaction. Zero on Facebook. So I've got to believe that those are the C words you can't use now.
Oh.
Interesting. Okay.
I don't know. I could be wrong.
What
I don't know.
World
but I'm
we
just
live
betting.
In.
It is. And
but
so how do you get
highlights the difficulty we've talked about for years now on censoring fake news? Because the whole thing, this is all coming from a desire not to show, you know, not to recommend chloroquine or drinking bleach or whatever it is that, you know, people are doing. So they want to protect people, and that's reasonable. But any attempt to stop fake news inevitably seems like it goes south in some ways.
Which is why I think that our main job is to amplify expertise now. And the effort to stop fake news is quixotic.
Is it quixotic or futile?
Both.
Okay.
Both. By the way, while we're on COVID, I want to show
it's
off.
It's tilting at windmills.
Purchase.
Oh, I want to get one of those. Where'd you get that?
PPE visor.
So I got one. Can you hear me still?
Yeah. No, that's so the advantage of doing it is people can read your lips. They can see your expressions.
Exactly.
It's a clear plastic visor. I don't know if it works quite as well as a mask does.
Well, no. So I under my oops, I screwed up the holes on this one. under my number, I have a paper there from a scientist I follow in my COVID Twitter list, which you can see.
This
on
is what website. I just bought, by the way.
You didn't really.
Yeah.
You didn't really.
Yeah. It's only $22. I have a feeling it says it's replacement. That's what worries me. I don't know what it's a replacement for. Oh, I'm wondering if I have the actual.
Aren't you supposed to have a tube that goes up into that?
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
I did. You're suffocated.
I have taken my. I made a mask that I put quilting material in, so it's like a little mini quilt. It's like a quilt square, and it really filters so well, so that I've almost passed out because I didn't realize I wasn't getting any oxygen. So you have to be careful with this. You really do.
So this Eli Perencevich is a epidemiologist at University of Iowa. I think he is. So there's a paper, Journal of American Medical Association, I put up at the very bottom of the rundown, and I've been following on Twitter, and this protects me from
spit
incoming.
Yeah,
far better
spitting in your eye
than a mask.
Yeah,
and your eyes and your mouth. Now it's unclear as to how much outgoing my spit.
Well, it's going down.
So well, if I sneeze
wearing,
right
I've
now,
been wearing
it's
safety
make a
glasses.
Hell of a mess.
I've been wearing safety glasses with my mask. I feel like because the problem with a mask alone is your eyes are you know, that's the third entry point is eyes.
Dr. Fair on NBC thinks that's how he got it on a plane.
Yes,
but
because he was wearing
this
a mask
is better for me than a mask. Yes. Unclear the other way. And so I can imagine teaching this as awkward and ridiculous as it is, but you can see me. We can talk. It's not quite so wacky, but I'll get it.
Isn't it?
And
it's
I can
so
also put
interesting
it up.
How we're all kind of just figuring it out together. It's like there's nobody, and it's not a U.S. issue. It seems like nobody in the world really kind of understands it. We're all just trying stuff to see what works.
That's when I watch the scientists on my list, and it's so fascinating to see science
this
in action
how it
as
works.
They try to figure this out.
Yeah,
this is how it works.
It's science in action, real-time science.
Yeah.
They still have not decided aerosolization. They still don't know.
They still don't know, yeah.
And so 6 feet is almost random. They don't know whether 6 feet is the right distance. It might be 13 feet. It might be time. We don't know.
Right.
I just tweeted a list that one epidemiologist raised of everything she could find in the news. There's a German journalist named Kai Kupferschmidt, and he wrote about this. What do we know about super spreaders? And there's this fascinating list. If you look at my Twitter feed, it's high up, where it goes, school, workplace, dormitory, ship, and one by one, church. One by one, where people are getting it. And they're learning more day by day about how it spreads. And they think there are super spreaders who, for some reason, spread more. There was the guy in the clubs in Seoul where there's 100 cases now because of him.
Hey, would you do me a favor? They're asking. Put on your clear shield. And, well, you may already know. You may not have to put it on. Does Face ID work through? Oh, you don't have an Apple phone.
I don't have Face ID. You think I am a cultist?
If you just wear the blue ring without the mask, you kind of look like a cultist. It's kind of like
that is true. Yeah. You got the wild hair, and I bet if you start screaming moral panic, we'll be like, oh, it's done.
So, Jennifer, my ex-wife, was driving around, and there was a podium on the street thrown out. There's a little Herman Sons Hall over here. It's a little auditorium. And actually used to be the home of the German-American Bund during World War II. The Nazis would gather there. That's Hermannsons Hall. And there's beautiful, handmade, it looks like, heavy wood podium. She sent me a picture. She said, do you want this? I said, hell yeah. So now I have, I can't show you. I wish I could. Is there a camera over there? Now we have a giant podium. And I was thinking, if only I could get this to you, Stacey, it might help you to deliver your talk instead of sitting down, if you're standing at a podium. And I've seen some professors do that, right? Make kind of fake podiums. I wish I have no real use for this, but I kind of wish everybody had a podium. So Jeff is setting up a camera so you can see. This thing it's gorgeous. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I figured, I ought to have a podium.
It's better than a soapbox. I mean,
it's a podium that comes with its own soapbox, by the way. You get up on a little stand.
Oh. Nice.
So I
can't, for short Germans,
for sure, I could bring this to Hyde Park and give a speech.
Preach to the Speaker's Corner.
Yeah. I don't see if we get a shot here of this. I'm sorry.
How heavy is it?
It's really, really heavy. Well, Jeff, go stand at it. You got to pull it back because it's hard to tell. Yeah.
It's already got a Twit logo on it?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, so, ladies and gentlemen, I come to you. The great state of California casts all 372 ballots for Jeff Jarvis, former TV Guide critic. What do you think? Pretty good, huh?
It's a pretty thing. It feels like the proportions might be wrong.
Well, it's just the way the angle. It's you saw it front on.
It's pretty.
Yeah, it's made out of like looks like some Nazi hammered it together in the 30s and donated it to Herman Sun's Hall. Mr. Speaker, I paid for this microphone. Okay. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, who said that? Who said that?
That's a good one. I don't. It resonates. I'm sure we can. There must be
Ronald Reagan's testy moment in the 1980 GOP debate.
That's right. That's right.
I
am paying for this microphone. Oh, now he's playing it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. I just mute on.
Actually, since we're talking about podcasts with the Podcast Addict. Big story in my world, probably not in anybody else's world, but Joe Rogan, who is widely considered to be kind of far and away the most successful podcaster of all time, he claims 190 million downloads a month.
Good Lord.
We might get that in 3 years, literally. So that's an awful lot, if I do my math correctly. Yeah, that would take us 3 years. So he says every month. He has made a deal with Spotify, which, of course, looks like it's trying to corner the podcast market. They said they would spend $500 million. They bought Gimlet Media, a big podcast maker. They bought Anchor. They bought Ringer. They've been buying up podcast networks, and they must have paid. I have to think that they paid Joe Rogan a significant amount of money.
$100 million.
That would be. That was my guess. Is that the actual number?
That's what Wall Street Journal says.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Joe Rogan is the PewDiePie of podcasting.
Yes, that's a perfect example.
Controversial, a bit of a jerk.
He's a former wrestler. He, you know, the most successful podcasters both were on The Man Show. and Adam Carolla both, and Jimmy Kimmel, all three of them came from The Man Show. So I should have been on The Man Show instead of Tech TV. I made a mistake. So all 11 years of the Joe Rogan podcast will be on the Spotify service September 1st. And at some point before the end of the year, this is the big deal. They will be exclusive to it. And that's what I think is going to be very telling. This is like Howard Stern going to XM.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Except Howard made five times more money. But still, $100 million ain't bad. I'd take it.
Howard wouldn't sneeze at that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nor would you.
It's a multi-year licensing agreement. The amount of time cannot be learned, according to the journal. They're saying it will likely be worth more than $100 million, so they're making it up. But that was actually the number that came to mind as well. It's certainly worth that. And here's why. And this was my concern from day one with Spotify getting into podcasting. I was worried that they said, oh, no, don't worry, we're not going to make it exclusive. But as soon as it's exclusive, then they know more about every single Joe Rogan listener because you don't have to pay for it, but you have to be a subscriber, which means they probably have a credit card. They certainly know who you are. They have your email address. And more importantly, you have to listen in the app, which means they'll know exactly how often you listen. We'll know if that $190 million a month is real.
What they can tell their advertisers beats what any other podcaster can tell their advertisers.
And I know this is a problem for all digital media because everybody who's not Facebook and Google lives in the world where Facebook and Google can tell advertisers everything they ever want to know about the people who are seeing the ads. And advertisers love that. They gobble it up, whether that's valuable or not. We've just debated many times. But it's going to hurt. I think it's going to hurt RSS podcasting, real traditional podcasting, because RSS, there's no way we can gather information on you. We're on a million different platforms. It's just a stream. Same thing with your podcast, Stacey. you know that. You can't really tell about who's listening. All you could, the best you can do is see the download and know that somebody downloaded it.
Apple has stats.
Yeah, but those are only good if you listen in iTunes in an Apple device, right?
Right. And most of my audience, well, a good chunk of my audience does not.
Right. Almost half of ours does not.
Yeah.
So, and that's I want to keep it that way. In fact, I was mad when Apple did this. Now what it really is going to be is Spotify is going to kill the ad market, or it's going to hurt anyway, the ad market for RSS podcasts.
Well, what you need to do is establish a newsletter and a virtual event business.
Oh, you are so smart. I should have thought of that.
I mean, what are you doing in your spare time? Come on, Leo.
Yeah.
So Stacey, the way you just said that, you were planning real events. Mm-hmm. Now, having done this virtual event, do you think you would try to plan real events again, or screw it? Virtual is better.
I would like to have real events because I think there's a lot of value in having people be face to face, but I don't think that's realistic until 2022.
Yep, I agree.
So, and right now, I mean, just as an open into my business, part of the event strategy was I happened to be planning one, but also this is a good way to offer people who might be on the fence about advertising additional value. So you can sponsor an event and you also get a discount on a podcast slot too. And that way you feel like you're getting more bang for your buck. You are. And that's keeping my revenue stable through COVID, hopefully.
Good. You are a deep thinker.
And a good entrepreneur.
Yeah. That's smart, like, right?
I try. Yep. And my partner does most of the deep, deep thinking. Because I'm worried about the Internet of Things.
Yeah. Honestly, I think that's a good division of labor. I do the same thing. Lisa worries about the business, and I try not to. Because, yeah, I want to focus on the content. It's nice if you could do that.
On the media front, since we're talking about media, yes. And Jeff is here, did you see the New York Times building their own ad network finally, Jeff?
What does that mean? I saw that, and I'm not sure. They were using a third party.
Is it on the rundown? I don't know.
No, maybe not. I saw it as well, and maybe I neglected to get it on the rundown. So
it's not really a
a Google story, but it's okay. It interests me. Oh no.
They said that they're going to do that. They're dropping third party ad networks, and it's next year. Why can't I not find this story? Where did I see this? All right. Well, I'll keep looking.
I remember way back. I mean, the New York Times can get away with that. Most anyone else could not.
Right.
I remember when Google AdSense came out. I was at the event where Google and New York Times announced it. And Martin Nissenholtz, the VP of New York Times, and I'm Mr. Google fan. You know, hey, cool, Google does it. Let's play along. But even I said at the time, why are you putting this up on your site? Why? I don't get it. And Martin said, it's going to expose us to all kinds of other advertisers. We're going to get revenue we couldn't otherwise get. Yes, the danger is people will go around our own buying, but we have the strictures so that won't happen. Da 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 da. But then, of course, as time moves on, oh, my God, Google stole everything. Well, Google actually sends billions of dollars to publishers through this network. And the New York Times can back off because it has all the data because everybody's a subscriber. But I don't think it's going to work for most anybody else.
Yeah, I can't find it. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. We just talked about it. We're done.
We just did. Okay. We're done. That's all we need to know. It's just a little stone skip in the water, you know? Next story.
You know the red fox screams when it howls? I got one for you. Today, Apple pushed an update to iOS. Google will push an update to Android. The API is on your phone.
How do I know? How do I find it? There?
That's an interesting question. Check on your... let me see. I have my Pixel. Where is my... Oh, my Pixel's in the other room. But I would presume it would be come with the
This is the contact tracing app?
Yes. It's the API, not an app. So I presume it would come with...
That's why you wouldn't necessarily know it.
You wouldn't know. I'm going to guess, though, it would come with an update. It does with Apple. It comes with a 13.5 update. Right now, Alabama is working on an app. South Carolina is working on an app. And North Dakota...
Explain this to me. So if you live on the border of North Carolina and South Carolina, and they have different apps.
How do they know?
Yeah.
I don't know. And then North Dakota is planning to incorporate its the API into its CARE-19 app, which apparently, according to The Verge, drew significant criticism from users in its early version. Utah is Idaho? I don't know. We talked about it yesterday on Security Now. Now I can't remember if it's Utah or Idaho. Has its own app, which has nothing to do with these APIs.
Is this the one that costs millions and only 40,000 people are using?
Yeah, probably. But you know, which state is it? I don't know.
Utah.
Is it going to come with Google Play system or is it going to come with the version?
Unknown. I don't know. That's what
I think. The API is accessible to people in the public health community that want to build the apps.
Yeah, but the question he's asking is, how would he know if he's got it yet? Supposed to come out today, and I don't know.
I always forget how to find my I know. Version.
You go okay.
God,
you hit the gear, you pull it down, you hit the gear.
Yeah,
you
I got
to
that.
The very okay. bottom about phone will tell you the version. But I don't have my Pixel 4 with me. I mean, I do. It's just in the other room. I don't want to get up and run over. Exposure notifications available on Android 6 Plus, Marshmallow, and later. It's powered by Google Play Services. So you would have an app, an update to Google Play Services. So you can, from your phone's settings
app. Ooh, complete update. Let me see.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. And from your phone setting app, you can visit the Google menu to control it. So you could go into the Google menu and then control it.
Ooh, I'll let you know.
Anyway, just a point. You know, we're going to contact tracing. It seems in this kind of, catch as catch can, let's try it and see if it works world. Seems to be widely agreed to be one of the things we'd need to do to be able to get back to
it's
work.
It's going to be incredibly imperfect, but if every case you reduce is a reduction from the R.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. And, you know, I mean, you just it's completely empirical. We're just, you know, try it. See what happens. I don't know. What are they doing in New Zealand? I don't know.
The Google menu, to get to the Google menu, you actually just go to the app called Google? I forget.
No. You pull down your notifications, you hit the gear, and then there is a Google entry in the settings. And it's supposedly in there. Like I said, I don't have it. I mean, I don't have my phone. And it doesn't matter if the API's on there, because until you have an app that takes advantage of it, nothing's happening.
Well, right. that's what I was curious about. I was like, why do we care?
So I wonder whether it's under security.
All right. What are we trying to look up again?
Our version? On your Pixel 4, in the settings, there is a Google setting.
Oh, okay.
In there, supposedly, there will be settings for this API, which to turn it off or on. Actually, I'm very curious to see if the default is off. It'd be my guess the default is off.
Google, account services, ads, backup data and messaging, device connections, on-device sharing, security.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff in that. But
Is it under security, you said?
No, it's just under Google.
No, I was guessing.
Oh.
It's just under Google.
Oh, then it's not there yet.
Yeah.
Mine is not there yet.
Yeah, and I don't know what the settings will say, so.
Ugh.
Just keep I always hate to keep going an eye on. I'm pretty sure it's going to be off by default. Now, my iPhone is now updating, so I don't know. Let's see if Apple says how you can control it on the iPhone. It's just security updates. They're not saying a whole lot about it, so I don't know. But that is supposedly the API is now in the phone.
Meanwhile, for us old people.
Yes.
Hello, Gertrude. Okay, Gertrude.
Apparently not that old.
No. What was the joke when old people trying to use OKG?
No, it was a joke about...
Goo-goo. There was Goo-goo. And then there was the Amazon one, the Echo Silver, where they'd say, Andrea.
So Google is now working on a simplified version of the, what was it, Home Hub Max Duo, whatever the hell that thing is.
For retirement homes. Max.
Retirement homes.
Yeah. So I don't know. There'll be what can you do cards. It's that'll tell people what they can do, which is good. It's good. I like this idea. You know, every time I come in my kitchen, my Nest Hub Max makes a little tone because it recognized me. And what's really interesting is it recognizes me if it just glimpses me out of the corner of its camera. It can recognize me now from the
sneaky
back of my head.
Devil.
Hi, Leo. Sneaking in for a little late night peanut butter cup. Hi, Leo. So
mine doesn't recognize me when I wear glasses, which is hilarious.
It seems to be getting better. I think it's training.
Oh, okay. I'll have to keep working. I pop by and it's like I feel like.
Oh, you!
I kind of like it. It goes bloom, and then it says hi, Leo, and then it says it's your morning. Here's what you have on tap today. I really like it. I know many will find it highly creepy, but
I think it's great because when it works, it's awesome. Yeah. And when I tell it to call mom, it's like calling my mom on Duo. And if my husband says call mom, it calls
it
his
knows
mom.
Knows the difference.
On Duo.
Isn't that great?
Wow, that's pretty cool.
It seems though, maybe this is just me, but tell me if this is the case, Stacey, that capabilities come and go. Like one it used to announce who was at the door, and it doesn't do that anymore. But now, when my daughter calls me on Duo, it makes a hell of a ruckus. It just seems to be doing different things at different.
Did you switch your Nest account over, mate? No. Okay, that's the only thing I don't have any devices like Google Nest devices attached to mine. So I have them all pumped
into it. It used to be, I used to be able to say, show me the front door, show me the backyard. It used
it
to say
show
somebody's at the door.
Do?
Well, I haven't tried. I mean, just noticed that people are at the door and, you know, it used to ring the Nest Hub Max. Anyway, I think this is a good thing. I think seniors, speaking as somebody who, am I a senior or not?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You're a senior.
Can you get the discount at Taco Bell? That's the only question.
Wait, there's a discount at Taco Bell for old people?
Uh-huh. How old do you have to be to get the discount?
65.
No. I'm only.
Is it an ARP thing or is it just I'm this old?
You're just not this old.
I can get the senior discount at the grocery store because I think that's 62 or 60 or something. Anything with a 6 in the age, you're
you can get into Whole Foods Senior Hour now at 60.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess I'm a senior. So it's okay for me to say that these devices are good for seniors. I've talked to a number of people on the radio show who are thrilled. You know, they have their Echo or they have their Hub and they can talk to it and it plays music for them. We gave an Amazon Echo to Lisa's parents. They love it. Play a lot of Elvis. A lot of Elvis.
My in-laws, I gave them an Amazon Echo, and they love it, too. They play music. And their grandkids love it, because the grandkids come in, and they're like, Echo, play this. And I think they regret it when that happens.
Somebody's saying that the Taco Bell discount is Medicare Plan T. You're eligible. Congratulations.
I haven't had Taco Bell now since the first week of March.
Why
this
not?
It's killing me. Because we have done no takeout. Nothing.
Don't you care about the future of your restaurateurs? And
I do. I do indeed. But no, my wife won't.
She doesn't think it's safe.
I think maybe a ruse just that she doesn't like me eating that. No, yeah. I don't think we have not done takeout once.
We do it probably once a week. In fact,
we do it once a week.
Yeah. It's nice because you don't have to cook that day. It's a nice thing.
And you know, you get variety because I gotta say, I'm totally burnt out on thinking of new things to eat. Okay, we're not.
I made meatloaf the other night. It was delicious. I'm gonna add it to my repertoire.
Repertoire. We are. Yeah. I was like,
you're trying to get us back on track, are you here?
I'm trying.
We got news. We got Facebook shops.
Okay, do that one because I don't know anything about that. What is Facebook Shops?
So Facebook Shops is competing with Amazon, and stock
I would like somebody to compete.
All-time high.
I would like somebody to compete with Amazon. So can I buy the same things on Facebook that I can get?
That I can't tell. I think you have to use the Facebook payment structure, whatever that is, not the crazy one.
Not Zuckbucks.
Yeah, not Zuckbucks. But it's a way to start serving local people. You know, one thing. So I did it. I called. There was a. I haven't written this up yet.
Hey, wait a minute. I see it. That Jeff Jarvis has a room, right? You're in a room on Facebook. Oh, no. It just says say hi to Jeff.
Oh, I see. Yeah, you can create a room. Yeah, so I clicked on that. So I could. Should we do that? Okay, hold on.
What happens if we have a room?
Get a room.
Aren't you always telling us to get a room, Stacey? Who's invited? One friend. Is one friend invited to my room?
Okay, so how do I get to the damn rooms?
I don't know. So where would I shop on Facebook?
Leo Laporte. Join Leo's room.
This is part of the problem with Facebook is it's so dang complicated. I need a Facebook for seniors.
That's just Facebook.
Join us, Jeff Jarvis. I'm waiting for Leo to join.
Well played,
Leo,
Stacey.
Would you just damn well join? Leo.
Wait a minute. I asked you. Oh, I have to join too?
You haven't joined your own damn room. How rude of you, Leo.
I invited you. Oh, wait a minute. This browser is not supported. To join this room, copy the link and paste it into Google Chrome. I'm in Firefox. Well, so what? I'm not doing it. No. Nope. Mm-mm. Not going to do it. Mm-mm. Not going to do it. Bye-bye. Go hang out in my room by yourself.
You have your phone? Yeah, you have your phone. Do it there. Go to Facebook there.
I don't have Chrome on my iPhone.
No, it's probably in the app. Facebook app. I'll betcha.
Is this the new Facebook layout, by the way? I don't know. I can't tell.
I can't tell. No, I don't know. It looks the same to me.
This feels like the most senior thing that I've had happen to me all day.
I can go get some Taco Bell if you want, Stacey. You know I got 10% off.
Oh, I love it. I'm just like, how long can we do this? I don't have this alive. I'm not going to try and put them on. No.
Is it Facebook's,
in the room with me?
It's Facebook's highest stock price ever?
That's what record high. Now, record the fool says here.
Everybody's happy now. Everybody's happy. It's over. The market's going through the roof. Everybody's happy. We're coming out.
It's up 6% today.
Wow.
By 12:45 p.m. Facebook shops will allow small businesses to create online storefronts on Facebook and Instagram. Experience third-party data. So I also there's a newspaper in Germany in Minden, the town of Minden, that in the crisis is. Delivering beer and shoes for local shops using their delivery people. So the question is, how do we eat beer, of course?
Wait a minute, why shoes?
I don't know. They've delivered 80 pairs of shoes.
Beer and shoes? I could see shoes. Beer and maybe you're misinterpreting. Maybe it's really beer and Frankfurters.
I actually emailed
pretzels.
The publisher. No, he said shoes. Shoes.
You know, the word Croc in German means mustard. No?
No, it doesn't. Zenth.
Actually, look at this. Facebook stock. So that was tumbling like everybody else. And then all of a sudden, boom.
It's a V-shaped recovery for all the tech stocks.
It's a V for everybody. It's a V for everybody.
For all the tech stocks.
They said it would be.
Amazon, Google.
Because we're using tech like crazy.
Yeah.
I understand that.
All right, well, that was not a very exciting story.
Amazon cut the pay for its workers, but there's good news. You're going to get a thank you T-shirt.
They are tone deaf sometimes. Oh, man, are they tone deaf.
I guess you could cut it up and use it to make your mask that you're not getting in your way.
Yeah, exactly.
I would do that. Thanks to you. Together, we'll deliver. I am very grateful to my Amazon.
So am I.
Because if it weren't for them, I wouldn't have all of the luxury items I'm having. In fact, many of the mask making items came from Amazon. So fabrics and
we've stopped ordering on Amazon.
I know I wanted to. That's why I want Facebook to be better. But I can't shop at Facebook.
Okay. That is like choosing.
They probably just take the order and give it to Amazon anyway.
Like, which dictator should I support?
Right. And was Walmart any better? Didn't we used to hate Walmart?
Whoa, oh, big news. Big news this week. I didn't see it. Walmart bought Jet for $3.3 billion and just killed it. Killed it.
It's done?
Okay.
Jet's done?
Yeah, well, they did. Okay, there's a couple things. They killed it and they did buy it for that much. But basically, they spent a lot of money hiring the head of Jet, the founder of Jet, and built out their e-commerce, built like
but a $3.3 billion acquirer is pretty expensive.
Okay,
but doesn't mean I agree with you, Stacey. It doesn't mean they're shutting it down. They're just shutting the name down, right?
They're shutting it. And the vision behind Jet didn't work really well. But
it didn't work
the
initially.
People that came over helped build out Walmart's e-commerce platform in a way. Not just the guy who, not just the founder, Lohr. I can't think of his first name. Michael? No. Anyway. It's not just him. It was also a bunch of data nerds, a bunch of technology know-how. So I know the brand is getting killed, but Walmart actually is pretty good at fulfilling. I've ordered online at Walmart, whereas I don't usually go into the Walmart store. And people can call me elitist, but my local Walmart has a terrible, terrible UI as it is. So.
And it smells funny.
Mine does not smell funny. It just takes forever.
It scares me. Walmart scares me. Just not the people, just the size of it. Just.
Mark Lohr.
Thank you,
Chumley, in the chat room. So yeah, they're shutting it down. It never, you know, from day one, Jet. How many companies have gone on the rocks trying to beat Jeff Bezos at his own game? Oof. A lot of them. Mark Lohr was aiming straight at Amazon, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the idea. That was the rumor at the time.
Yeah. You'd think now, today, would be the day that the Jet division of Walmart would be doing so well, but maybe not.
Right.
Jet had this idea about like just-in-time pricing and personalization that never came around.
It was too complicated for people. People just want to, in their head, say, this is the lowest price. I know it is. I'll take it.
Also, as Amazon has showed us, that might get them some antitrust attention otherwise. So
right.
Then meanwhile, this is rumors. Normally I don't put rumors in the rundown, but this one amazed me. The rumor, hot and heavy, is that Amazon might buy JCPenney out of bankruptcy.
Oh yeah, just went bankrupt. What?
This is the question I have.
They wouldn't. Why would they?
Do they need physical storefronts in malls?
Malls are dying.
Our JCPenney went away years ago. You know,
I don't see it.
I don't either. It's hot and heavy, and Amazon stock went up as a result. You think it would go down? Like, why would you do that?
Yeah, I mean, the idea is that this is a place where people could go visit. There's the other idea is that it is a more local extension of their delivery warehousing. But again, I feel like Amazon would be better off if they want to show people things, buying a store, a brand like Beta that is designed solely to show people things, right?
Right.
As opposed to let you showroom.
Trigger warning. I'm going to show you a really disgusting bug.
Okay.
It is named Troglomyces twitteri, named after Twitter, because the entomologist who discovered it first saw a picture of it on Twitter.
And what does it do to the bug, Leo? Because this is the fascinating
part. It devours the genitals of millipedes. It is the perfect.
And no, it's not an insult to Twitter. It's a tribute to Twitter.
It's a parasite.
A parasite after Twitter.
Yeah, an entomologist at the Natural History Museum of Denmark at the University of Copenhagen. The parasite first came to her attention when she saw a colleague share a photo of a North American millipede on Twitter with two strange white dots flecking the millipede's exoskeleton. She immediately, this is how good she is, Anna Sophia Rebolera, immediately pegged it as a parasite, did a little research, and yep, the Troglomyces twitteri. This, by the way, is not the Troglomyces twitteri. This is the millipede. The little white dots circled in red. That's what she saw. And she said,
is this the original photo that she saw and thought,
yep,
that's a parasite?
Yep.
Dang.
These scientists are so amazing, aren't they?
So amazing. Well, if you consider finding a new millipede parasite amazing and naming it after Twitter,
a genital eating millipede parasite. Now, come on. Bonus points.
Bonus points. Hey, here's an interesting thing that Twitter's doing that I really like, and it's only a rumor. It's on Tech Meme, but apparently Twitter is considering, let me find the story here, a feature that lets a tweet's author limit who can reply to the tweet.
Yes, it's,
I thought that was actually people. It's out.
Is it out?
Hunter Walk was testing it today. Yes.
Yeah, some people are already testing it. This is great. I love this because I would not have to listen to people who I don't care to listen to tell me what they think about my thoughts.
I would, you know, pretty much everybody who adds me, I don't want to hear from. So it would. So you could just say,
I have added you.
I include you in that list, Ms. Higginbotham. Probably some grammar. No. But you can choose everyone, which is the default, people you follow, or only people you mention in the original tweet. So what happens is a small glove icon, glove, in the corner of your tweet, tapping it. Should I try it? Every time I tweet, I get in trouble with you guys. Because the last time I swore at Jeff.
Yes. You just had people, what's the matter? What did he do?
Oh no, my God. You guys haven't fallen out. So if I make a tweet.
If you go to Hunter Walk, at Hunter Walk, you'll see him using it.
Okay.
But go ahead and you do it.
Okay. No, it's probably safer.
Hunter Walk. So he has a tweet that says, this is a test of the new Twitter feature, they say.
Is this Hunter Walk the theater of magic? The pinball Hunter Walk?
Yes, that's Hunter Walk.
Yes, okay. That's him.
Oh, look, people they mentioned can reply. People they follow can reply. Oh, that is nice. That is nice.
Pisses me off. Elitism. Plus, the other thing it's going to encourage is people are going to do the thing we don't want, which is screenshots of tweets so they can reply to that. But, of course, I could retweet his tweet and put smart-ass remarks in there, which is what I did.
Oh.
Okay, I see your point. But as someone who, like, it's trying to target some of the abuse that people get on the platform.
Yes.
Like women and people of color. Yes. And
I'm just thinking of myself. Which is
so I typed, hello, Jeff Jarvis. And then where's the glove? I don't know what the glove is. If I press tweet and it just goes out.
Well, you may not already have it.
I don't have it.
No, you've got to set the standard to say no one can do it.
Oh, it's in the settings.
Yeah, so go to settings and privacy.
Okie dokie. Let's see if I can make it that way. No, don't show it because it's going to show all my private stuff. Privacy and safety, content preferences.
Let me see. Notifications. Mute. Okay, it's in advanced filters and then notifications.
Where's advanced filters? I don't have that. That's under settings and privacy?
Under notifications. Okay.
Sorry. Under
notifications. Mute notifications for people you don't... No, this is not the same thing, is it?
Mute notifications for people
notifications.
You don't follow. Oh, you're right.
This says you can limit who can reply you your tweet, which is a different thing. So I guess I don't have it yet, but that's cool. I think that would help, right?
Sorry, I went on mute so my dog would stop yelling at me.
I don't mind your dog. I like your dog. So anyway.
Does she like her?
Look for that. I'll take her. What kind of dog is she?
She's a mutt.
I'd take her. I'd like dogs.
My
told Lisa, if we're still in quarantine at the end of the year, can we get a dog?
You can't get dogs in New York now.
Yeah, everybody should have a dog.
No, I mean that they're gone. They're all taken.
Gone.
No, they are. You know they're all the adopted dogs.
Take two, we'll make more.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just need to go to the Deep South. There's lots of dogs there.
They're all pit bulls.
Yeah. That's why there's so many dogs there.
I decided, by the way, I'm only going to do happy stories from now on. This is going to be the happy show for all of our shows.
Happy show. Hey, you want to talk about Google's touch-sensitive headphone wires?
Yes,
because I am super stoked about those.
Perfect. See, only...
I put that one in there for you, Stacey. That was mine.
Only
I
happy
put that in there
now. Yeah.
Thinking of you.
Yeah. What is it?
You know your audience, Jeff. So this is Google. This is... I feel like this is an ATAP project, but it's not an ATAP project, I don't believe. This is the IO Braid. It's a textile user interface that lets you swipe or touch or tap a fabric cord. And they've woven fiber optic strings into
fiber optic.
So yeah. So by touching the cord, I'm sending a light signal.
It says the yarns are capacitive and conductive. So that doesn't. Oh, the fiber optics are for visual feedback.
Oh, it's just so you can see it. You can see it. Yeah, see how it glows? That's cool.
It is cool.
I love it.
And I guess they had to tell you it was fiber optic as opposed to fiber because most cords are fiber.
Right. Fiber is just textile. So it's a fabric braided headphone cord with fiber optic weaved into it. You can twist, flick, slide, pinch, grab, or pat, which sounds like
most of which sounds illegal. Yes.
Sounds like the sexual harassment complaint. First. So continuous twist or flick or slide is a discrete motion, or pinch, grab, or pat, which are discrete grabs. Only Google would classify.
I'm going to screw this up. Yeah.
Those are really important to classify those things, though. Someone had to come up with pinch to zoom.
Let's watch.
That's what they're doing.
Let's watch this interactive video. And you can play along. So here we go. The following clip will show live interaction with a music player using pinch. And it started playing jazz. You turn it up by twisting it. Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Isn't that fun?
You pinch it to do what? To pause it. Slide it. Pat it.
Pat.
Fast forward. Twist it. Oh, so you change the mode by patting it and then twisting it.
This would be fun in like a DJ setting.
So people at home are listening.
Style micro interactions advance cord-based interfaces by enabling the simultaneous combination of precise
continuous
control
for like scrolling
and casual discrete gestures for soft electronics.
This is great. If they could do this to my hair.
We leverage the recently introduced IO-brake
and your hair will light up too. That'd be great.
That'd be really cool.
User studies and experiments, which help us design suitable interactions and a real-time gesture recognition pipeline.
What? So think about, imagine this in a home setting, right?
Put it on your blinds or something.
And instead pulling on the blinds, it controls a motor that does something, right?
But here's the thing. Everything is going cordless.
I know. We don't have headphone jacks anymore.
Yeah.
And that is, maybe
problem.
You add a cord for things like this.
Oh, that's good. We took away the headphone jack, but we're going to give you the new pinch swipe. Slide.
Which actually connects to nothing. It's just a new UI.
Well, there are still cords everywhere. Imagine that as a lamp controller, for example.
Yeah. No, and blinds is a really good example because you're going to have the cord there, but instead of physically twisting it, you could just,
you just slide your finger.
By the way, I'm returning my second pair.
The new Google Buds, same thing?
Did not work. Worse, Lemon.
It's your ear.
Do you have a metal plate in your head?
Hey.
No, I'm not.
No, because they have to communicate through your ear hole. The hole in your head that connects your ears.
So it's sporadic, but it's there.
Others
so I got your recommendation, guys. I got the Jabras.
Yeah?
Do they work for
you? Which are okay, but I'm unhappy. I actually prefer... The Pixel Buds are better design. They're nicer, nicer UI, nicer sound. I was much happier with them, but they just do not work, Google. And it's the problem of the early product, right? They'll probably figure it out. Meanwhile, I've spent $199 on these. So I'm not happy. So forget your happy stories, fella.
Here's a happy story. So you probably saw the story that go ahead.
Hold on. Your Jabras, if you want to.
The doctor's in.
They have an app. And you may hate it, but if you download the app,
dark mode for sound. Is this what it is going to be?
Yes.
No, sorry.
No. It helps you tune it so it sounds better for your ears. That's all.
Oh, okay.
That's all.
Thank you.
I just wanted you to know that.
Yeah, I
used
Did
you get
the
65s or 75s?
75s.
Ooh.
Fancy.
Yeah, I figured I might as well do it. I mean, I'm
for it.
Did you replace your ear thing? Did you adjust your ear size thingy?
I've done it so much. I've done every permutation and computation possible.
Because it comes with a ton of them. It even has like some memory foam. Oh, it didn't. Oh, because mine came like with a lot of different tips.
Oh, no, it's just three.
Just three. Okay.
No, and the chopper's fine, but I prefer everything about the Pixel Buds. They
like
don't
the
work.
Google Buds. That's
wow, Jeff, you're all in on the Google cult. I love it.
I am.
How about the Samsung Buds? Those are good. The Galaxy Buds. Those are good.
I was wondering whether that'd be better for me.
Those are $99. At least you won't have spent so much.
$149.
Are the Surface Buds out?
Yes, they are. $249. But they look Microsoft? So good. Yeah, the Microsoft Surface Buds.
They're not going to work with
yeah.
them.
Oh, they have Android. Positive touch.
Yeah, don't they look good?
They look pretty. Oh, hey, they're only $200 right now.
Oh,
is that
on
for
sale.
Real?
Yeah. Go
these
get them.
These cost me $199.
Oh, and $179.99 for eligible students, parents, teachers, and military.
You're a teacher, Jeff.
They won't stay in my ear.
Well, no, that's
know?
The
no way
outside.
That'll stay in my ear.
That's the outside.
I need to know. I need the rubber thing. That Microsoft thing. No, look at it. No, it's not the rubber thing.
It's
that
kind
sticks
of like
in
the
your
AirPod.
Ear. It's like the AirPod. That'll never. Yeah. I have wacko. Yeah, no, they won't stay.
You got wacko ears. He's got wacko ears.
Plus, it looks like it's a really bad piercing job.
I know. It looks like a gauge.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, you're right. This is not. I like soft plastic.
Yeah, I don't. That's not going to stay.
This is
in my
exactly ear. Like the AirPods. That's interesting.
Yep, it's AirPods on a big pedestal.
Yeah, AirPods on a those pedestal. Listening. Yeah. So
all right,
a little,
off track.
Google got some heat. Some employees said that they had canceled their diversity programs. The presumption was they did it because of criticism from political conservatives. Sundar Pichai has a response. He says Google is investing more resources in diversity than ever. We did not cut them. This was on the Verge cast. What we are doing in the company is constantly at our scale. We look at that first. We see what works, what we can scale up better. All I can say is we probably have more resources invested in diversity now than at any other point in our history as a company. Now, NBC had reported that they had canceled the Sojourn program, as well as two other programs, DEI for Managers and Allyship 101. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they didn't replace them. So we have Pichai said, we have definitely made efforts to make sure the company can accommodate viewpoints and no one feels they're not a part of the company, regardless of their political viewpoints. There are people inside Google who are unhappy, who are feeding, you know, people like NBC stories saying, oh, yeah, they canceled it because they don't believe in diversity anymore. It's pretty hard to know why they might have canceled one program or another, especially.
Or another one. Yeah. What have you heard anything about? So Damore's suit was dropped. It was obviously a settlement.
They settled, obviously. They can't talk about it when that, you know, when you settle
a
lawsuit.
I wonder who settled for what.
Yeah, we'll never know, will we?
No.
It's in the clause in the contract. It says, you know, if anybody asks you, you say, you know, everybody was satisfied. Everybody got what they wanted. No, you can't say that. You have to say everybody, it was mutually satisfactory solution.
Right.
So mutually satisfactory.
I thought you weren't supposed to say anything.
You're not, well, if they ask and you have to say something, you could say, I can't say. But I think the best thing is to say, oh, no, you know, it was a mutually satisfactory solution.
Yeah. It's like when your wife says, that's fine.
It's fine. Yeah. It's one of those. Oh, it's fine. I'm fine.
I think that's just a general passive aggressive trait. It's not just, it's
I
not
do that
only
all the
wives.
Time. I'm fine.
Do you use fine, Stacey? Do you say you lose it?
I'm the most aggressive person that you would ever meet.
That's
if I'm
good.
Mad at yeah, you, I'm telling you.
I prefer that.
Oh, me too.
I'm passive aggressive.
Oh, yeah, very passive aggressive.
Yeah, I say
I cannot deal with passive aggressive people. Yeah, I get aggressive like about passive aggressive people.
Yeah, no, I don't like it. Tell me the truth. I can take it.
Like,
I think,
yeah.
But I'm fine.
Excellent. Okay. Let's move on. Hey, IFA, you guys, this is so exciting.
IFA.
I think it's exciting.
They are going to do it. They're going to have a real live in-person conference in Berlin.
What? So what? It's a little weird. So IFA, which is a huge trade show. I mean,
gigantic.
Yeah. And it's
spoke there once.
it's crazy. And it's usually, what's that place in Germany? It's not usually in Berlin. It's in
Hamburg? No.
Is it in Hanover?
Hanover. No, I thought it's in Berlin this fall.
Aoife's in Berlin.
Yeah.
Okay, Aoife's in Berlin, Hanover. Yeah. Okay, Hanover Messe is in Hanover Messe.
Yeah.
Okay. So Aoife, they've moved it to September. They're going to only allow 5,000 people because the German government says you can only have 5,000 people. So they're going to have, it's going to be invite only. They're doing 4 smaller events and no more than 1,000 attendees can be at each of the smaller events each day. The press conference is only going to have 800 journalists. So that's pretty big. I mean,
now they say they're going to enforce social distancing. So will they be three chairs apart, that kind of thing?
I don't know, because think about how aggressive journalists can be terms of like cutting in line and things like that. I mean, it's kind of part of your nature to be a jerk.
Well, watch Cuomo's press conferences.
Aoife's tweets. What happens at Cuomo's press conferences?
Cuomo's. They're sitting 6 feet apart.
Right. Yeah. And I watch the WHO press conference, and they're at a round UN table, but they're very far apart. Aoife will offer you, this is the tweet, a real life experience and the human connections we all crave.
Giving it 50-50.
Yeah, the German government could just say, yeah, no, you're not.
Yeah.
Or people could not attend. It sounds like a recipe for disaster. I mean, I don't want to be in a room with 1,000 people at any time.
No way. All.
Well, and this will there's also virtual events. A lot of shows,
I enjoyed Microsoft Build. It was great.
I miss being in person. I
don't.
That a lot.
I don't like people.
I don't even like people, but I do like
I'm
to
fine.
Go to shows.
I'm absolutely, I'm fine. Not just fine. I'm fine. Being on my own.
Fine. No, I agree with you, Stacey. Like the three of us were at Google I/O, I'd be so thrilled to see you, and it would be fun, and we'd say hi and all that stuff. But I don't know if you have to. Do you have to have that? It's nice.
I don't know. So there is an element of focus at these things where you can see in real time. You can see what they're putting all their wood behind in terms of who's getting keynote time and stage and how elaborate it is, right? So that's part of it. The other thing is you can see how people are reacting, where people are going, like what sessions they're attending. So where the zeitgeist is moving, judging by stuff like that. And there's not the same kind of thing that you can see in a virtual setting all the time. And then there's also just the nice like meetings. Like one of the reasons we chose the platform that we chose for our next event is because there's virtual networking and you can go in there and just click and you'll be randomly allowed to talk to someone for 3 minutes. And
it's
that's
like
just
speed dating.
Yeah, but and you can leave early if you don't like the person you're paired up with. But it's just really random. And it's kind of like this idea of like when you're in line waiting for something and someone turns around and is like,
yeah. No, I love that.
Yeah.
But as I said, it's enjoyable. Is it necessary?
It's necessary for me. That's how I do my job.
You learn things.
That's how I find people.
Yeah, okay. So you do. You make connections that you need doing that.
And it's also like, it's part of talking to real people. Like, right. Jeff, I'm sure you tell your students, you got to go out. You can't just trust what executives at a company tell you. You got to talk to users and normals.
By the way, we've got your T-shirt, Jeff. This is from the chat room. Thank you, Zephyr. It says, I'm fine. And it looks like
a cheery chat room we have.
It looks like you got you were hit by a large caliber shell. That's terrible. Terrible. Only going to give good news. So I'm not going to mention that a trade war could break out because the president has extended a ban on Huawei and ZTE, two Chinese companies. And according to 9 to 5 Mac, now China's considering retaliating, calling Apple an unreliable entity as revenge. I don't think that'll happen. I would hope. China is said to be ready to label Apple an unreliable entity. Apple makes a lot of money in China. Witness, it was the first stores to reopen While the rest of the world's Apple stores are closed, the Chinese stores were wide open.
Oh, I found a great story.
Thank God, because I got nothing.
I have a good one. Hold on.
Please. I'm serious.
It was in protocol on the beta store because...
I feel like I'm almost forced to do a changelog here. There's just nothing.
Oh, I can't do that. I'm trying to find it. I'm so sorry. It's in protocol. It's all about the beta store, and I keep trying to spell the beta store correctly, and it's not helping me find it.
What is the beta store?
The beta store is a store that lets you try things. Oh, here it is. Okay, finally, Stacy. You'd think I'd be a better Googler than this. I'm putting it in the chat room. Okay, so this is a store where you can go and test out different devices. So drones, VR goggles, smart home stuff, all kinds of stuff.
B8TA, I get it.
Yes. So they actually opened in Texas and in Texas. So they have stores in Houston and Austin. And Protocol talked to Vibhu Norby, who is the CEO of Beta, about what they're doing to open up safely and sanitize. And it was really interesting, his comments about they're relatively small. Each employee is going to guide each customer group through the store. And as people touch things, the staff members dropping a token.
Oh, wow.
Behind each person as they touch.
That's smart.
And then he also created a...
They have one-way aisles. You can only go one way. That I'm starting to see that in grocery stores, too.
So we have that in our grocery stores.
Yeah, you don't... your breath doesn't encounter somebody else.
So my wife was in the store today, and an old woman got halfway down and then turned around. My wife looked at her and shocked. I'm sick of this. I've had enough. Just turn around.
Oh. Well, they created something called Shop Safely. Now, this is by them. But this is their... Basically, they've created a Shop Safely score for retailers around the country, including like Walmart, Kroger, Home Depot. And I just thought this was a really interesting, it's shopsafely.co.
Yanko wrote this.
Yeah, Yanko.
Oh.
My buddy.
Your buddy, former Giga Ohm colleague for a long time at doing great job reporting at Variety on technology and entertainment. I guess he's at Protocol now. That's great.
Three former Giga Ohmers at Protocol. You should start looking at their stuff.
I'm going to start reading Protocol. It's a pretty nice publication.
It's an excellent publication, actually. Yeah. I really like it.
The underwhelming reality of a virtual build.
Is this Tom? I bet this is my former
Tom
editor.
Krasit. Yeah. Krasit. Yeah.
Krasit.
He doesn't like that. He's a cranky person.
He is a cranky person. He and I got in lots of screaming matches,
He's got a cranky attitude on all this stuff. So how do they make money, Protocol?
I don't know. They have
subscription?
Funding.
It looks free. There's no paywall.
It's free. I assume advertising, probably events eventually.
It's also just starting out, so yeah.
Yeah.
And to get back to that beta story, that's really the crisis for them. They started up and then COVID hit. So they never had a chance.
They've been around for a couple of years.
Oh, they have. Okay. Okay.
They've been around for a while.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in my mall.
But this is...
Oh, they are?
Oh, yeah. They were in Macy's, too, in New York.
Oh.
It's what was the old store that had the wacky stuff, you know, the chair massaging and all that?
Sharper Image?
Yeah, it was better than Sharper Image because it was actual brand stuff that was good, but it had the same appeal of, oh, I want that silly thing that I don't really need.
Well, the model is they charge companies to put their stuff in their stores.
It's a marketing model.
Yeah. And then they demo it for people. And it's for like June actually did an oven demo, you know, in San Francisco stores.
Of course.
The idea is products today are more complicated. So you want to spend time with them. They don't actually, Beta's goal is not actually to sell these things, it's just to show them to you. If you buy it, great.
Sundar Pichai also on the Verge cast says they're going to go slow reopening Google 10-15% of the employees at first. It feels like the fact that they didn't do Google I/O at all sounds like they were extremely cautious, more so than Apple, which apparently is already asking people to come back to work.
Of course, Apple being the control freak.
Well, it's really hard for Apple to do what they do remotely.
It is. I get that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Jack, both of his companies.
I love it.
Rest of your life.
Don't ever come back. Don't ever come back.
So I'm thinking about, I'm curious about this one, uses of useless real estate. Right?
There's a lot of WeWorks. There's a lot of WeWorks available.
Well, hold on. Hold on. Okay, yeah. I wonder whether WeWork could have a reinvention.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to my office. I'm here at home. My wife is fed up with me. We can move to Kansas. We can move someplace cheap, right? But I don't want to have to put the space in my home. Do I go to a WeWork? I live in Manhattan. There's no room in my apartment. Do I go to a WeWork? I wonder whether there's a Starbucks alternative home office future for WeWork. Smaller.
That's like executive suites. And those have been around forever. WeWork is an upgrade Regis. On that. But
yeah.
I think people, I think there's value in bringing small teams together to collaborate. And that might be interesting there. You might also see it as like a quarantining station for someone before they go into a main office. But I think most people, if you can work from home, I think the home market is going to change a little bit. And we're going to see more real estate space dedicated to offices in the home.
I think you're right. So I have New York friends, obviously, who looked down their noses at me for being a bridge and tunnel guy, who are now saying, I think I'm moving out to Jersey. They get more space. They don't come in as often. It changes your calculus of where you want to be.
My calculus was really changed when I could just park in front of my house. And it really changed when we moved in out of the downtown Petaluma, which is turning into a giant metropolis, to our East Side studios here. And I could park and I didn't get any tickets. I have to say, after a while, as you get older, living in the country ain't so bad, Bridge and Tunnel guy.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree.
And you're living on an island.
Well, I've never had to work. When I left New York, I had to live in New York to work at the publication there. And then I went to my next job where I had to work in an office. But after that, I never did. My husband's never had to work in an office.
You have to be well motivated, though, right? I mean, you don't need somebody to say, okay, you're on a deadline, let's get going, or anything like that.
Well, no, that's the beauty of a journalism job is I have a deadline all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I used to do my radio show from the house, and it was terrible because it was too easy to just get up and kind of slide in your slippers. And because it's radio, you didn't have to do anything, just slide
in. No pants.
Sit down. And the energy level was awful. So I ended up renting a studio out of the house just because it didn't work. It wasn't good. My energy was not very good. I think I need to come to work. Notice I'm the only host at Twit that comes into the studio.
Right.
And it's my luxury because I can say, well, I'm going to be here, but you can't be here. I don't know. Actually, I should ask them if they mind working at home. They all seem to be doing great jobs doing their shows from the house. And you guys are all working at home. I'm the only one who's in here with me and Jeff.
You obliterate Jeff there.
Not that Jeff, the other Jeff.
No, the other Jeff.
Right.
Jeff 1, Jeff 2. We'll let you guess which one's
I got to figure out how to do this. I'm going to call you Jarvis from now on. I kind of like that anyway. Sounds like you're my butler.
Jarvis?
Jarvis? What do you say,
Some people
Jarvis?
Think it's my first name.
Higginbotham and Jarvis. That's what we should call this show.
Oh, I like that. It sounds like British. A tea brand.
Yes. I drink only a fine Formosa from Higginbotham and Jarvis.
Oh, that is fancy. Yes. Okay. I accept.
That is. I like that. I like that.
Higginbotham, are you excited about Microsoft's 285,000 processor supercomputer in the cloud?
Yes. That's not what I was excited about. Yes.
Yes. It's using Azure. What were you excited about by Build? Fluid? Were you excited about Fluid?
No, I was excited about the digital twin stuff and Microsoft RTOS or Azure RTOS. But that's just me. But let's talk about
that. Fluid. Is you. I don't even. RTOS, real time operating system. Azure.
Let's talk about normal people stuff. It's just because I was excited about the Internet of Things.
You're so amazing. Yeah. I just love that. I like people who have oddball enthusiasms. No, it's always the best people.
I'm reading about the supercomputer really fast.
No, you don't have to read about it.
And I can trust the author.
I'm moving on. Yeah, you trust him because it's Tom.
That's it. Stone skipped on the water. That's it. It's now sunk.
It's done.
It's fine.
The fluid framework sounds to me kind of interesting. And we've been talking about it on Windows Weekly without much understanding of what they're trying to do. It is something that for a long time computer companies have wanted to do, Microsoft too, where a document isn't just a document. It's
you know what it sounds like?
Fluid framework?
It's Wave.
Google Docs.
It sounds like Wave.
It's Google Wave.
Oh. Yeah. It sounds like Wave. You embed different bits and pieces. It's very web focused.
And they're changeable from wherever they are.
You're right. It's Wave.
It is Wave. It is the vision of Wave.
And what's sad is Wave was really cool.
It was. Poor Gina Trapani wrote her book.
It died so fast.
Well, that's because Google sucks at marketing and explaining its cool tech to people.
Well, maybe the fluid framework will be the wavy thing.
Well, Microsoft will overcomplicate it. You'll have to have talking paperclips tell you how to use it. Yes. But other than that, it'll be fine.
Looks like you're trying to make
Clippy was document. Like 20 years ago. We've got to let it go.
Oh, no. Never let it go. Never. No,
and that brings me to the Google changelog. Wow, Jeffy.
Good job, Jeff.
Jeffy did it. Bum. Bum, bum. Now, I am not a tab maven, but maybe, and as you know, I don't use Chrome, but maybe you guys are tab mavens. They are now in Google Chrome in, 83? They're rolling out grouped tabs.
Cluster tabs.
Cluster tabs. I like that
name. I'm giving it a...
So I like pinning tabs. You can see here in Firefox, in fact, I've pinned some tabs. They have a little button, and then they're persistent so that when you close the window and you reopen them, the tabs, these little pin tabs are there. And Google's, Chrome's got that too, right? You can pin a tab. So how does this relate to that? What is the group tab feature?
I just thought you could group your tabs together so they all stayed.
They're persistent groups.
Yeah, so I'll confess, Kevin actually showed me pinned tabs probably like 2 months ago. And I was like, what?
That's the best thing ever. This? Yeah.
So I don't know how they would differ because I am.
Well, for instance, tabs. I have a folder right now called Study. So it's my online study class and the various documentation and things I need. And I can open them all. It's a folder, but I can just, if I open it all the tabs will open. Like that. But I'm not sure. So this is similar, it looks like, because here's Google's showing a tab called Reading, and it's highlighted and special. And inside Reading, I would presume, are a bunch of other tabs.
So basically, nobody ever figured out bookmarks.
Right.
What was the great service, the bookmark service that we all used?
Oh, I love it.
It had a horrible URL.
Delicious. That's it.
See, I use Pinboard because Pinboard took the Delicious API, and Maciej Czeglowski said, he missed it. He said, I'm just going to write something that uses the API, and that's why I've used Pinboard ever since. But Delicious, we all used that.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was delightful.
It was delicious.
So people do know how to use bookmarks. Is that why you use
bookmarks? I've got my bookmarks. They're going to clean up their bookmarks. Like, oh, I have a weekend. I'll clean up my bookmarks. I'll do the taxes, right? Nobody ever cleans up the bookmarks.
Oh, no, I do.
I use Google Keep.
Oh, you're
obnoxious. Wait, what?
I have very tidy bookmarks. He's talking to me.
I'm not obnoxious.
You probably have email box 02.
He's talking about me because I have organized folders, subfolders, and because I use Firefox, my bookmarks sync to everywhere I go. So it's a muscle memory. I know exactly where all my bookmarks are. I love bookmarks.
I don't really like. I have a bookmark bar with my essential things, but there's only 10 bookmarks that I have at all times, and I don't add to bookmarks because usually when you bookmark something. Well, this is probably our job, but like I want to save articles for a relatively short amount of time. And so then I stick them in Keep.
Yes. Bookmarks are not for, they're for pages, not for, they're for sites, not for pages.
Well, yeah, but there's only like, no, I mean, how many for sites? A page.
Well, yeah, but you, yeah, if you start bookmarking pages, you're gonna have a lot of,
well, I
then you're gonna have a lot of bookmarks.
Folder. I had, well, a recipe folder where I took my bookmarks, like I bookmarked recipes and stuck them in the recipe folder, but I moved all that to Keep.
Yeah. See, okay, I get where the problem lies. Yeah, because so for instance, I have a news folder of news bookmarks. It's not individual news stories. It's that's what I use Delicious or Pinboard for. So these are all sources. So Tech Meme, Nuzzle, Reddit, Pinboard, Popular Bookmarks, Hacker News. So these are all sources. But then if I go to Hacker News and I say, oh, this is good, then this I will put on Pinboard. So that's what Pinboard is, because it's too big. It's too it would be too ungainly to bookmark.
And from Pinboard, it goes on with
that's the one where this Zapier thing
into the rundown
with Zapier. Yeah, it goes into the rundown in all sorts of places. Yeah, so my Pinboard is actually doing that individual page thing, and that's what Delicious was. So and the Pinboard's organized to do that. You can look, if I look at my Pinboard, these are all the news stories we're covering, and then I use tags to organize them. So these are all the stories we've ever done for Twig. So these are if you wanted to go back in history to every story I've ever done on Twig, it would be there, which would be ridiculous.
Exhausted.
Yeah, but if you just go to the top, these are the most, they're in chronological order. And that, yeah, I think this works really well. So that,
those are the ones you put on, but when I put something on the rundown, it doesn't show up there.
No. The rundown is kind of the final arbiter that we put together. You can show this. It's okay. This is the final arbiter that we put together for each show. Karsten does this. You can see this is a Google sheet that has tabs for every show, and that has all the stories. And so when you give us something, that's where that goes.
Right.
So I think it's using the right tool for the right job. I don't use browser bookmarks for pages so much, although you see here's my programming folder with every language I'm interested in. And in many cases, these are individual pages. Wow. But they're kind of the pages that I want to keep forever. You know, like I'm always going to want, sometimes they're sites, but most of the time they're things I'm going to want for a long time. Not just like ephemera, like news stories. Yeah, that shouldn't go in your bookmarks here. You'll just end up having too many, right?
Well, and I don't need them forever.
Keep is a good idea. You should try Pinboard, Stacey, if you haven't tried it. It's perfect for that. Because the tags will give you a taxonomy, making it very easy to find what you're looking for.
But what about my ontologies? Will it give me an ontology? I'm so sorry. You are being very helpful, and I will try out Pinboard.
I'm a huge fan of Pinboard. And then there's a lot of additional stuff you can do. For instance, I use a bookmarklet as I'm going through pages. You could use Pocket for that. Do you ever use Pocket for that or Instapaper?
I did use Pocket for a while, yeah.
Yeah, Pocket's a good way to do that. But Pinboard, to me, is a little bit better. It has Pocket-like features, but see, these little summaries, I put those in.
I just use Keep because it's on my phone. It's on my thing I'm talking to you right now, computer.
Computer. So let's say, here's this article, by the way, which we should talk about, DoorDash and Pizza Arbitrage, which is...
Oh, that was a great article.
Yeah. So great article. And the funniest one is, so the guy's making money because he charges $24 for pizza, but DoorDash lists it for $16. So he was buying pizzas from DoorDash and reselling them, thereby making $8 a pizza. So what I'll do is I will highlight that salient point. Go to Pinboard. See, Pinboard now has the link, the title, and that paragraph. And then I can tag it Twig, for instance, and it suggests tags. And then add the bookmark. And now when I go to Pinboard, it's already there with that little highlight. I think this is a really good way to work. I love Pinboard.
It's got the Zapier link.
It's Zapier. There was a kind of Zapier program. Now Zapier does, I do it via RSS. So I just have the RSS feed for this. And when something new enters the RSS feed, Zapier automatically puts that in Google Sheets. And they also tweet it. I have a Twitter account called Links for Twit that it goes to. So I've talked about that before. But, yeah, I think Pinboard is really a good solution. And Mache had a good idea because he saw Delicious go by the wayside, then get sold to Yahoo where it was neglected and blah, blah, blah. So what he said is, I'm going to charge. But he did something clever. He said it was cheaper. The sooner you bought it, the less it cost. And I have a life. I paid like $20 for a lifetime membership. I don't know how much it costs now. But as he got more members, he charged more money. It was a very interesting plan. But he's basically set it up so it's self-supporting. I have 12,494 bookmarks on Pinboard. I joined in 2010. Oh, and by the way, people can subscribe to your bookmarks. 165 people follow my bookmarks. I didn't even know that, which is wild.
They might not even know it either.
They may not.
Might be one of those whimsical decisions you make, and you're like, why is this happening?
My email's filled with this crap from Leo. And you can use this. This works with Pocket. They also have a Pocket-like feature that will save a whole page for later reading. They have a read-it-later feature, which I don't pay for. That's additional cost. I think there's a lot of nice features. It has an API. Anyway. We're in the middle of the changelog. I don't know how I'm so sorry.
You're just stretching it out.
This is the kind of service, by the way, Google could really have offered. Yahoo should have done a better job. Asus announces hardware dedicated to Google Meet. This is an advantage Cisco had early on. They had dedicated hardware. Asus, a Taiwanese computer manufacturer, is going to make specific hardware, including a camera, a screen, a computer, and a switch for video conferencing with Google Meet. It is
Meet quality in the midst of the pandemic has been really bad for me.
Yeah, me too. Maybe this will work better. It's an i7 processor. It's a 128 gig SSD. It has a magnetic chassis, so you can knock it just to the included stand or mount it out of sight, which I think is really clever. This is pretty nice. I think it's a nice idea. It's not cheap. It'll be about $2,000 for the starter kit. The medium room, small medium room kit, $2,400. The large room kit, which doesn't include a camera, $2,000. You provide your own camera. I thought that was kind of interesting. That's really more of a Asus thing. We mentioned already that the exposure notification API is out. Actually, what we didn't do, though, is go to the Google blog post where they announced this. So this is the joint statement by Apple and Google. If you want to learn more, they don't talk too much about how it works, but someday you'll get it. Today's the day, and someday today you'll get it. Chrome has been updated quite a bit with more privacy tools, easier to manage cookies and site settings. They've reorganized the controls to make it easy to find the most sensitive website permissions like camera access, microphone access, location access. If you just got the new Chrome, which you probably did, you might want to take a look in the privacy and security section of the settings, because there's some new settings in there you may want to manage. Chrome is playing catch up. There's Brave, Firefox. There are a lot of browsers out there. Even Microsoft's Edge that have somewhat better security controls built in. There's new controls in Google Photos for how you share albums. They keep talking about this sharing stuff, and I keep trying to use it. You can still do it via a link, which you can embed, of course, in an email or text or blog. But, you have the option to turn link sharing on or off any time. You can decide if you want to let other collaborators add photos to an album. I like the shared album. I think that's really cool, where you could say, you go to a wedding and say, everybody share your pictures into this shared album. I've done that. So take a look at the sharing features. I'm not sure how this has changed. Rolling out this week, when sharing an album, the default option will be to share it with a specific person via their Google account.
And then when you remove stuff, it will pull the stuff from the album that they may have shared.
Yes.
Okay.
So it gives you more long-term control over that. That's one of the problems. If you share it with just a link, you can potentially lose control. And I think we all want to celebrate the Aloha spirit with Israel. Kama kama hoa hoa kakaloki.
So
his 61st birthday. Yeah, wasn't he? This is so beautiful. This. The story of the recording of this is amazing. It was many years ago. He was pretty young. And the producer tells the story of... I shouldn't play this whole thing, right? Because Israel's people will come after us. And
yeah, Karsten's starting to run out and get in his car and run over here.
He called the producer in the like 2 in the morning and said, I have to come over. I just have to... Did it in one take.
Jeez.
It was just... It's amazing. It's an amazing story. So... We all have the aloha spirit now, especially with Hawaii in our minds, and that's the Google Doodle celebrating. There it is. If you go to google.com, there's Israel. I'm sorry, I'm going to ruin his name. Kamakawiule. Kawiule.
I cannot help you.
And you could ask Google how to pronounce his name, but then you have to pronounce his name to ask
Kama
Google.
Kamakawiwole, wole. Anyway, if you just press the button, it'll play, which is cool. They put the video right in there. So how could I get in trouble for playing this? I'm just playing the Google front page. Brother Izzy. I'll just call him Brother Iz. Oh, man. That is such a good song. I never tire of that song.
Yeah. That and Hallelujah.
Yes. Which version is your favorite?
Hallelujah.
Well, it's the most recorded song ever. What was your favorite version? Was it the, of course,
Katie Lang's is good.
Okay.
Okay. Yours?
Actually, I really like the original, even though he's not the greatest singer ever. He passed away.
No.
Leonard Cohen. He passed away a few years ago.
He's but brilliant.
He's wrote it, and he deserves the credit for writing the most amazing song, and it is a beautiful to listen to. And then the most pretty version, it's on my funeral playlist, actually.
Loudon Wainwright.
No, Rufus, son. Loudon Wainwright's son, Rufus.
Loudon,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, Rufus.
It was a Wainwright.
Thank you for remembering. You must have my funeral playlist. I sent it to as many people as I could so that it would get played.
It's just most people's answer, so.
Yeah, Rufus Wainwright. It's beautiful.
That's it.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. It is overplayed.
All right, I'm going to give you something that's really cool. Copy link address. Put into the, I just put it in the second tweet, last tweet there in the rundown chat.
Karsten does, by the way, say that Leonard Cohen was, in fact, a great singer. And I guess in many respects he was. He was a great singer for his music.
If you listen to Bird on a Wire, it's pretty amazing.
Like
his voice
a bird
was so different.
On a wire. Yeah, I love him. No, I play him all the time. I love it. But, it's like Bob Dylan. It's an acquired taste.
So I just put in a TikTok version, which is great.
Hallelujah.
It starts it off, and then, yeah.
Nice.
Wonderful.
Let's play that for everybody. This is Austin Owens, and it's the Hallelujah duet.
Somebody duet this. Let's make this amazing.
Ooh, I'll do it. What song are we singing?
Well, I've heard there was a secret chord.
I know this one.
David played, and it pleased the Lord, but...
See, I like it in a lower register.
Well, wait.
Yes. My turn?
Well, it goes like this.
Oh.
The fourth,
yeah.
The fifth, the minor fall, and the major lift.
Okay. Give it some church. How do they do this in sync like that?
That's TikTok.
TikTok will do
this. First guy puts it up there, and then you follow along.
Oh, so they didn't do it together?
No, they don't do it together. No, it's that the first guy, the little guy, puts it up, and then he can have 100 people. Will then do
so
the next verse.
So this Austin Owens doesn't know the little guy.
No. No, that's,
but he's acting like they're like buddies, but there's not. That's just how you do it.
You can embed multiple TikToks.
Oh.
So that's how people, that's the whole, I'll throw the ball and somebody else catches the ball. Then they throw the ball and somebody else catches the ball. That's kind of how they do the TikToks.
I'm going to have to get on TikTok, man. The kids, they're so good. And
they
that's...
are so good.
Is it everything? Is that it?
Is that the Google changelog, or is
it's
it
enough.
Not?
It's enough. Yes. Yes. It is. It is enough.
That's the Google changelog.
By the way, not to return to the things you've already skipped on the water and put down, but right above that in the Twitter in the chat there,
yes,
is Twitter's example of the new feature.
Okay. Let's see
look
it.
At that.
Let's see it. And they're telling me in the chat room that cousin brother is dead. I know he passed away a long time ago. Yeah. You up, NASA?
So Twitter says to NASA, you up?
Yeah. NASA say.
A conversation between Twitter and people they mentioned in the tweet. So only NASA can answer. And NASA says.
Yeah. Tweeting from Earth. What's up with you? Nice. We love Earth. Just look at it. How's the Wi-Fi up there? And what's your favorite space snack? Is this actually a somebody in the space station? Wi-Fi is pretty decent. NASA. Some of our NASA astronauts can tweet up from up there. Favorite snack? Launch meat. So, Mars? Our NASA Persevere rover is launching there in July. Watch with us. It's a date. Aw. How do they do that? That's so cool. So no one else can. This is why you do that. No one else can get in on this. No, and you know what? That's my biggest problem with Twitter is you're having a nice conversation.
So brands can control their message?
Well, Stacey, the question is, Stacey, does that solve any of your raised issues about harassments and stuff?
She doesn't have a problem. She loves Twitter. I don't understand it.
People are nice to me on Twitter, and they send smart stuff. I even have my DMs open.
Okay, don't show this on the screen, but six people replied to my hello, Jeff Jarvis. But see, this is why I don't know. I don't want to open that. Who knows what's in there? Right?
Well, I'm one of them. I replied too.
Yeah, but I'm not going to look at it because I don't know. It's a package. Every time I get a package of a certain shape, I worry about what's in it. You know what I'm saying? It's that package. Let's take a break and then I don't know. I'm too much of my psyche is bleeding out now. This is not good. I'm gonna put a lid on it, Leo. Be the show host you were meant to be. Don't let any of your personality come out. Okay. We're gonna take a break. When we come back, picks, numbers, and final thoughts from Stacey Higginbotham and Jeff Jarvis, the fabulous tea company, Higginbotham and Jarvis.
Egg and Buffum and Jarvis.
I like them. They make a great cuppa. Our show today brought to you by ExpressVPN. Boy, now more than ever, now that we know that the Patriot Act has passed, we can talk. Yeah, we can talk when we come back. And that without a warrant, law enforcement can go to your internet service provider, say, I'd like to see everything Leo looked at for the last 20 years. And you know who knows that? Your internet service provider, because you go through them every time, right? That's one of the many reasons people love ExpressVPN. A virtual private network protects your security. We all know that if you're, on an open Wi-Fi network. But nowadays, we're not doing that as much. But you also protect your privacy because whoever the carrier, whether it's at the coffee shop, your phone company, or your internet service provider at home, they see everything you do. And they record it. I know people say, well, it's all right. I use Incognito. No, incognito mode doesn't hide it from your internet service provider. Even if you clear your browsing history, your internet service provider is a record of every single website you've ever visited. And now law enforcement can get it without a warrant. Just ask for it. That's why when I'm home, I never go online without ExpressVPN. First of all, I know some people say, well, I don't want to do that because it's going to slow me down. ExpressVPN is the fastest VPN you've ever used. It is indistinguishable from not using a VPN. So you're really moving fast. Several times I've accidentally left the VPN on and not even noticed it's that fast. And they make sure your ISP can't see a thing. Your internet connection is rerouted through their secure servers. Now, it's very important you understand that yeah, sure, you're private for the ISP, but the VPN now, in effect, sees all of that. So it's really important that you use a VPN that is not logging, is not tracking what you're doing, and that's ExpressVPN. Their trusted server technology means they spin up a new server the minute you log in. It cannot write to the hard drive. It's sandboxed. And the minute you leave, it shuts down, with absolutely no trace, no footprints left in the sand. ExpressVPN cannot and will not log your data. And that's been validated and verified by an independent third-party audit. I really love ExpressVPN. And because when you emerge in the internet, you're coming from their servers, no one knows that's you. Thousands of other people use that same IP address, so you're anonymized. Also, your data is encrypted with 100% of the best-in-class encryption, so your information's safe. And it works on every device you've got, even your smart TV. ExpressVPN's on your phone, it's on your computer, it's on your laptop. Just tap one button and you're protected. Rated number one by CNET, Wired, The Verge, countless more. It's the one I use, the fastest and the most trusted VPN on the market. And now, more than ever, we really need it. ExpressVPN.com/twig. You'll get an extra 3 months free on a 1-year package. That's the best deal. ExpressVPN.com/twig. Please use that address so they know you saw it here. It's great to have them as a sponsor, and it's even better to have them know that you saw it and bought it because of us. ExpressVPN.com/twig. Thank you, ExpressVPN. Yeah, I wasn't going to do bad news, so I didn't want to.
I forgot about the bad news.
I didn't want to mention the reauthorization of the Patriot Act. Ron Wyden tried, but by one vote.
Yep.
One vote, the Senate did not enforce an amendment that would have prevented law enforcement from getting your search history. I love the petition that said, Mitch McConnell, if you believe this so much, why don't you show us your search history? Yeah, why don't you show us your search history?
That, has it gone through the House?
Yeah, I was about to say, it's not done yet. Because
I should know this.
Can they still rescind this? Is it a done deal? Is it going to the president's desk to be signed or
Let
what?
Let me check. That is a good question. If it originated in the Senate, which I think it did, then it would have to go to the House, right?
Yeah. It would have to go to the House.
So, or in reconciliation, if the House has already passed it, they could add it, but it seems unlikely, right? This was something proposed by the ACLU. I don't think it's the law of the land yet, but.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they're going to.
Does the House have its own Patriot Act?
It's going to ask. They're going to ask the president to veto the legislation. Or is this the FISA related legislation? There's three amendments. I'm like.
Yeah, Ron Paul had a FISA amendment. I don't know. They postponed. It looks like maybe to postpone the vote. I don't know. They can't postpone it too long because if it doesn't get reauthorized, it expires.
Right. Hold on. Well, it already expired.
Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought this up cold. I apologize.
Okay, these were amendments.
It just shows you
up.
This is why privacy advocates are so concerned about the contact tracing, because this stuff never dies. You know, the Patriot Act was in response to 9/11 almost 20 years ago, and it just never dies. This is the 9 to 5 Mac. It says the FBI.
It does not answer the question.
Okay.
I just read that. I'm like, God, Politico. No. Where's some clear reporting on this?
We need a song about how a bill is passed.
Well, I know how it works. If the Senate,
I know. Which we need to say this is the second verse.
Yeah, yeah. And if the Senate passes it, and the House passes something different, then it goes into reconciliation. Which at some point somebody negotiates it, and then they come out with a joint bill, which then goes to the president. And that's what I'm a bill on Capitol Hill.
They have to vote on their reconciliation bill.
Do they?
Before they send it to the president, I thought.
Not just made up.
I think you reconcile in committee. It has to get out of the committee.
No,
and then
you just do probably a quick voice vote. Like, what do you think? Okay, go ahead. Democrats are also trying to ban internet shutoffs until the pandemic's over. That'll go well. I think we're done. I don't want to. This is bad news.
I'm sorry.
Let's only have some good news.
Okay.
Group tabs on Chrome.
Yay!
Yay!
Helical touch cords.
fungus eating bug genitalia.
Eating fungus. Yay!
Castrati millipedes.
Yay! All right. Let us. Do you have a thing for us, Stacey?
I went and I did my demo on the level lock. And so I loved was coming
that.
Back.
That was yeah, so good.
It's actually really cool. So I learned a little bit more about it for the people who were inquiring. And it is really just a replacement bolt. The bolt is, I cannot say, ANSI grade security. So you can't saw through it. The innovation there, and it's a former Apple person, is that you take off your lock face, you replace the internal deadbolt, basically. And what they've done is they've made it very easy. Traditional deadbolts, and it's battery powered. Traditional deadbolts, they're designed for a physical movement, right? For me to twist the lock. So there's a pretty hefty spring in there. This lock isn't. So it's very lightweight. It slides back and forth if you're playing with it. So that's how they got a lot of the battery savings. Because I was like, that's ridiculous.
That's a little concerning, though. Does it seem like it's a little loose?
But no, because you can't push it back if it's open, and you can't saw through it. So I'm trying to think of the use case where it would be a problem.
No, it just might wear out a little bit because it sounds like it's kind of loosey.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, we'll find out. You're using it, right?
I am not using it because I am moving.
Oh, you took it off. Okay.
So that was the August lock I showed you last week.
Would you use it?
I would use it in my house.
On the new house? Good.
I would.
Good.
And the benefit is no one actually sees any of the hardware. So like the August I showed you last week, you could tell that was there. With the level lock, you replace the front plate and the back plate of your lock. So no one has to know that it's a smart lock, which is kind of nice for a lot of people, I think.
Very cool.
And that's that. So that's the update there. And I felt like someone had a question about it.
But go to StaceyOnIoT.com because her COVID panel will be there soon.
Oh, yeah. That will be there soon. Yeah. Oh, and I can tell you, sign up at StaceyOnIoT.com/edge. And I have a half-day event on machine learning at the edge. And it's awesome. I've got people from John Deere. They're going to talk about machine learning on tractors. Boop, boop. I've got Shell. They're going to talk about why machine learning cannot scale yet. I've got just super awesome people.
This is great.
It's going to be awesome.
And this is coming up
Thursday, June 11th.
Thursday, June 11th. 9 a.m. Pacific. Cool.
She's putting machine learning. She's basically doing vision recognition on like firefighters and their gear to see through smoke. Lots of good use cases, lots of good explainers on what edge is. It's going to be awesome.
You know, this is, so you're doing this. Jeff's interviewing epidemiologists. My friend Johnny.
And don't forget the Steakums guy.
And the Steakums guy, which was great. And my friend Johnny Jett is a travel guru, and obviously there's not much to talk about with travel. He's been interviewing all the other travel gurus about their travels and stuff. I think this is an interesting development that a lot of people, that we now have the technology to make this. So, this was hard to do even a few years ago.
It's what the net really is, which is conversation. Yes.
Yeah. So I think that's pretty darn cool. I look forward to this. June 11th, machine learning at the edge, StaceyOnIoT.com/edge. Jeff, do you have a number?
Well, let's see. I'll go with a simple one. So we talked about WeWork earlier. The valuation has dropped from $47 billion to $3 billion.
Oh. So
that probably goes with your affiliate.
Oh. Ow.
SoftBank sunk a lot into WeWork.
Yeah, they lost a ton of money, didn't they? Well, have they lost it? I mean, are they going to take a write-off or are they going to hold on?
I think that's what this is. Yeah, this is the write-off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were talking earlier. I mean, I wonder about dead malls becoming schools with social distance.
Oh, interesting. That's a good idea.
You know, what happens to office buildings? My friend Bill Gross has a company that moves cement blocks up a tower as a means of storing energy. I emailed him and said, well, now maybe you can use an old office tower, 666 Fifth, and move cement blocks up and put one Times Square is nothing but the ball and billboards. Maybe you put solar panels on the outside of buildings. What happens to these buildings? The big box
turn
stores
them all
that
into
go away,
iFlies.
The malls that go away, they go to what?
You turn them into iFlies. Well, data centers. Some malls are becoming data centers.
Yeah. Are they? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good thing. That's what Rackspace did. Rackspace was in a mall.
That is, yeah.
Yeah, they were the first years ago. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, the roof is painted white for energy saving purposes.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah, because it's in Texas, right?
Yep. San Antonio.
Hot.
I've been there.
Hot.
There's
hot,
a slide.
Ah, another thing you could do with a mall, turn it into an amusement park.
Well, that's what I said.
Well, that's what's happening in New Jersey it's already gone bankrupt, I think, two or three times. It'll go bankrupt again. There's a huge mall formerly called Xanadu that wasn't even opening. Now along comes COVID. It's doomed.
Yikes.
Doomed.
Yikes. I worry about Las Vegas. You know, there's a lot of there's a massive development. Was it Show World or something that's going on in Vegas that's going to be stopped completely?
But they have really good filtering technology from the cigarette smoke. So I'm curious to see if, like, they optimize the heck out of that.
If you're dumb enough to go gamble, you're dumb enough to go there and get COVID. You know, so.
You think?
Oh, some people gamble because it's an addiction.
They can't help it. They can't stop it. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I just, I'm glad we didn't move there, as it turned out.
Were thinking of moving there?
Yeah.
That's hardcore.
Oh, God, no.
It's fun.
Sad.
I thought it'd be fun to retire there because there's lots of great restaurants and entertainment. And there was the Madison Square Garden guy's building a giant planet-sized theater, dedicated theater there. That's also in trouble. And they just finished Allegiant Stadium for the Oakland Raiders, who are moving to Las Vegas for major football. So much for that. But on the bright side, those condos we were looking at are really going to be cheap soon.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I think my suburban real estate is going to go up.
Yeah, it might be. Oh, yeah. That would be nice if our suburban real estate got more valuable. Then we could move to the big city just as everybody moves out.
Well, then you'll have plenty of room to park.
Yes.
Yes, that too.
So I don't know if this is an appropriate pick or not. It's kind of a kooky pick. I've been playing with websites. I always wanted a website that would be, wouldn't have anything, you know, trackers running on it or anything. It would just be content driven and really fast because I wanted to use what's called a static website generator instead of a content management system. So Medium is a content management system. I'm sure, Stacey, what do you use for your website?
WordPress.
WordPress. I have a WordPress site too. So that's a content management system. It's basically a big PHP program that's running all the time. When you go to my site, the PHP program says, oh, quick, get a page ready. It pulls from a MySQL database. It pulls content. It pulls style sheets from another database, puts them together, and then throws this. It's what we call dynamically generated each visit. And that is very costly and slow. So I thought, what if I have a website, because it's my stuff's simple, if that would be statically generated. And so I created leo.fm. It's running on a kind of server just over here. And I don't know, this will be a good test to see if it breaks down. Here, let me show it to you. leo.fm. Go ahead, you can show it. It's okay. And you'll like this, Jeff. You see that hideous dark mode that you hate so much?
Yeah.
There's a button right here that makes it bright just for you, Jeff. Just for you. But the reason
sunshine in my life.
I'm not sharing the blog particularly. The reason I'm sharing it, and in fact, there's nothing really interesting on it yet because I'm just kind of playing with it. But it's kind of cool because I can. I can generate it. I'm using I SSH into my server and use Emacs to write a markdown file, and then I run the generator. And this doesn't have to be generated. This is static. It's just HTML pages that are loading when you visit it. So it's a lot faster, and it's using a program to do that called Hugo. And that's what my pick of the week is. It's a very, if you're interested in doing a website, and you could put this anywhere you could have it. I'm using Nginx, an HTTP server. You know, DigitalOcean, you can put it up in there if you have a box lying around. And then you run Hugo. You can either run it locally on your computer and then just copy the files over. I run it actually on the server because then I can SSH into the server and write the content there. It's a very quick and easy way to write the content. Hugo's free. It's written in Go, so it's very fast. GitHub has its own system called Jekyll that's also very popular for static site generation. But I really like the power of this. There's a lot of themes. It's very capable, and it makes it easy for me to write blog posts anywhere very quickly. And a build, literally, they're right, takes milliseconds. So when I put up a new post and Hugo generates the site, it's literally like 30 milliseconds, 30 thousandths of a second to create the static HTML page. So you don't need to run a very – you can run this on Wasabi. You could run this anywhere. You don't need a very fancy server to do it because all the work is done, you know, once. And then anybody who visits the site is just loading those existing pages. I've been playing with it. I really like it. It's pretty cool. Hugo at gohugo.io. And no, it's not a sponsor hosting it. It's a box. It's a black box over there. It's actually my Minecraft server, which I realized – nobody's at work, so I might as well use the bandwidth here. We got a lot of bandwidth. No one's using it. And so
yeah, that's true.
Right? So I've been running a Minecraft server at home, and I also – it's the same server I'm running my Jitsi server on, twit.team.
And what else is in this mystery box?
This box – well, it's nice to have – so it's got a lot of storage, and it's got a lot of RAM, and it's fast. It's a Xeon. So it's a nice thing to have just a box that you can – SSH into and put stuff on. So whenever I want to play with a new a device or thing, I can create a server. So Jitsi's running on it. I think I have 5 Minecraft worlds running on it. And now I have my website on it. So it's kind of cool. It's kind of fun.
Ooh.
Next Wednesday, SpaceX launch, says John G. We know you like space. Have you tried the SpaceX simulator? That's another pick I meant to tell you about. You can do a docking. See if you can dock.
Oh, that's what I failed at when I was a kid, and we went and did our NASA field trip. I was the navigator and had to like.
Well, now you can try again. This is the actual interface used by NASA astronauts to manually pilot the SpaceX Dragon 2 to dock with the International Space Station. You can download it and run it, but you can also run it on the web. And oh my gosh, we're drifting off. Oh, I don't know how it works, but I've never been able to.
Is this the one that's going to have astronauts on it?
Is this Dragon launch? No. Is it still an unmanned? Maybe it isn't. Maybe, I don't know. It is a manned launch. Yeah, astronauts.
Well, if they get too close to the space station too quickly, they will have astronauts.
Yes, no. There are astronauts coming to the space station. So SpaceX's launch is on Wednesday. That's fun. And you could practice beforehand to see.
It's pretty cool. That was like my best field trip ever.
Yeah, no kidding. It's fun, isn't it? It's hard to do this. I mean, this is not easy. I got to do a little roll. Let's do a little roll thruster. But you don't want to roll too much. You remember what happened. So the Crew Dragon 2 is May 27th.
Ooh, right after Memorial Day. Y'all, we've got a holiday that many of us will find meaningless next Monday.
You can barbecue.
By yourself.
Yeah. When I was young, I used to do the lunar lander at the Chuck E. Cheese. This is a little harder.
Leo, you were never that young. You did that as a father, and you're not admitting it.
Jeffrey Jarvis, thank you so much. Jeff is officially the director of the Town Knight Center for Entrepreneurial Journalism at the beautiful Craig Newmark Graduate School of Journalism at the City University of New York. Look how gorgeous his shot looks, thanks to eCam and eyeglasses.
It's a little laggy.
Well, eyeglasses going through the other camera. Yeah.
And you have kind of like an amber hue behind you.
Well,
which is really
I changed it because the sun was coming in, and there's not a way to go back to. So let me put the temperature back down. That's better, right?
I mean, your face still looked great. You know, your color looked fine, but just behind you,
that's
it was
all that
like
matters.
Jeff encased in amber.
You got to be really patient to dock this thing.
Oh my gosh, we lost Leo.
Pay attention.
That's Stacey Higginbotham.
Somebody's hungry.
Of the law firm of Higginbotham and Jarvis. She is, of course, Stacey on IoT at stacyonIoT.com. The IoT podcast with Kevin Toefel is also there. And don't forget to sign up for her upcoming event and watch.
Yes.
And watch today's event on COVID-19, stacyonIoT.com.
I set up a background just for the event. Look at that.
That's beautiful. Llamas. I know. It's really good. You got llamas.
I took the printer out.
Yeah. Well, golly, I'm glad that you finally found something that mattered. Something worth decorating for.
Oh, sorry. You guys
no,
are just...
I don't care. We don't care. We don't care. We like
I know
printers.
Y'all don't care.
No.
My husband, he's like, I think you should have a cleaner background. The printer is not great. And I was like, dude,
no, he's kind
of printer's
right.
In all of my shots.
I
sure.
Know. I don't
right.
care.
We
want to see your.
I want to see what you do in the new house. There's going to be a high standard set. We're
oh,
doing
you
a
guys,
rate my Skype room.
It's going to be so amazing.
Are you going to be like Georgia Dow and have 4 virtual reality rooms for your family members?
No, we're not.
Thank you, Stacey.
But my office is going to be amazing.
Is
I'm going to try to out Jeff.
Are you going to do some stuff? That's good.
Oh, yeah.
It's
I'll
nice
have
to have a great office.
Bookcase.
I'm very happy with my sewing workstation now. I can really crank them out. That's great. Good to have a good office. Thank you, everybody. We do This Week in Google every Wednesday, 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern, 20:30 UTC, right here on twit.tv/live. You can watch that live stream or listen. If you're doing that, join us in the chat room, irc.twit.tv. That's where all the cool kids hang out. And by the way, if you're feeling a little lonely, you need a little geek companionship, there's almost always somebody in there 24/7 because we have visitors from all over the world. From Australia and everywhere. So there are people in there in the middle of the night. You never have to feel alone. Go on in there and say hello if you're ever looking for somebody to talk to. We love our chat room, irc.twit.tv. After the fact, you can download the show at our website, twit.tv/twig. You can also watch it on YouTube or ask your Amazon Echo or your other voice assistant to play This Week in Google podcast, and it should play it for you. I do want to get you, if you will, to subscribe in your favorite podcast program. Look, there we are in real life. And even then, Jeff, you were social distancing. And it looks like you're saying, fine, I'm fine.
You don't look friendly.
Fine, Leo.
That was when Jeff was visiting us and Stacey was still in a little box over there. We'll see you next time on This Week in Google. Bye-bye.
Hey, folks. I am Micah Sargent, co-host of Tech News Weekly right here on the Twit Network. Yes, Tech News Weekly is a show we do every week, Jason Howell and myself, where we talk to people who are making and are breaking the tech news. That's right. It's journalists, it's inventors, it's app makers, it's everybody who's bringing the tech news in a given week. It's all the stuff you want to know about in bite-sized chunks in a fantastic package. So be sure to subscribe. It's twit.tv/TNW.